Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study.
Good evening, guys. How are you doing? Good. You guys having a good night? A little bit cooler tonight. Fall's coming in, which is really, really nice. Hey, let's go ahead and let's pray tonight as we begin. Father, we come to you. We thank you for tonight, this evening. As the temperature drops and we sit in here, we drink our coffees and we have our teas and we enjoy fellowship and community with one another. Lord, I just thank you so much for the environment that we're in, the family that we get to be a part of in these few moments as we read your word, as we look at who you are in the form of a man, Lord, the wisdom that you brought. May we glean from that. May we apply it to our hearts, our minds, and allow it just to change us internally. And may, as we leave here tonight, Lord, we just go from this place filled with your wisdom. In your name, amen. All right, well, you know what? Tonight, we get to look at the life of Jesus. You guys have been going through the Gospel of Mark. Awesome, going through all of the Gospels. If you aren't a student of Scripture, there are a lot of places to start reading the Bible if you're a new believer or you're new to the faith. There may be some people that say, well, you just got to start reading the Bible, you know, cover to cover. That's the old phrase. Like, you just got to go. Genesis to Revelation, just start reading it. I would strongly recommend that if you are a new believer, you really want to start studying the Scriptures, please start in the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Please understand the nature, the character, the person, the personality, the essence of who Christ is. And then from there, go out from there and to start to study Scripture. Colossians would tell us, the Apostle Paul in the book of Colossians would tell us that all things were created by him, for him, through him, to the glory of him. He is the point, he is the purpose, and above all things, he has the preeminence, which means before anything else, he is the highest to be glorified. He is the most important thing that has ever exists in creation. He is life. And so to understand who Christ is first is so important in your walk and understanding really of Scripture. And the reason why we say that all Scripture is God-breathed, why it's good for doctrine, for correction, right? It's good for living, all to the point of righteous living, so that we may have the same mind as Christ himself. So, anyway, we're going to be looking at Christ tonight, and we're in Mark chapter 11, where at the beginning of Mark chapter 11, we see Jesus do the thing that Jesus is best known for doing, and that is that he is entering into the city of Jerusalem. He's coming into the city of Jerusalem, but he is not entering in on a white horse, on a steed, on anything mighty, but he enters in on a colt or on a donkey. And one of the things that I love reading at the beginning of Mark chapter 11 is as you look there and you see Jesus as he's about to enter Jerusalem, you see that Jesus actually tells his disciples, hey, go over to this house over here. You're going to find a colt. You're going to grab that colt. Tell the people we'll give it back to them. And you're going to bring it to me. Jesus was planning this entry in this way because Jesus wanted to make a statement. Jesus wanted to make a statement about humility. So Jesus enters into Jerusalem. He then does this weird thing where he walks up to a fig tree that isn't producing any figs, and he curses it and says, don't produce any more fruit. You will wither and die because your fruit is bad. And then he goes to the temple courts and drives out those in the temple courts who have turned the temple not into a house of prayer, but he would call it a den of thieves. He walks into a place that's supposed to be a house of prayer, a place of connection with the Lord, a pause of reflection, of being with the Creator, of really thinking about, God, I want to connect with you, I want to be with you, I want to worship you. But people had flipped that around and they said, hey, buy my stuff. You got to buy this. You got to buy this. Like Marketing Central all over the place as he walked in. And Jesus went in there and he started flipping tables. So this guy that humbly entered into Jerusalem on a donkey, then makes his way over to a tree, curses the tree, then goes to the temple courts and starts flipping over tables because his humility started to give him authority. The humility of who he was gave him the authority to do what he was about ready to do. And that is exactly who Jesus is. His authority comes through his humility and his excellent, excellent mastery of how to communicate his humility to others. How many of you guys know the names like Bruce Lee? Everybody knows Bruce Lee, okay? If you vaguely know the name Bruce Lee, you picture this like Kung Fu master, this guy that's excellent. He is known for the 6-inch punch. Now, the 6-inch punch is this incredible. You could actually go watch videos on it right now. It's Bruce Lee. This is what he does. He takes his hand, he puts his palm out, and he puts his palm out about 6 inches right here from a person who's standing. And in this distance, just about 6 inches, with all of the force of all the might of his body, he straightens himself up, he takes all of his energy, and within 6 inches delivers a punch that is so powerful, it will knock a man over and send him flying back into a chair. And you could watch that video actually on YouTube now. They have those videos you go ahead and you can take a look at. Bruce Lee was a master at martial arts. He was an unbelievable master. And there were people that were following Bruce Lee because he became a Hollywood film star, a director. He started doing all kinds of kung fu movies. And where he came from, they hated Bruce Lee for what he was doing because he was like showing all of the mastery skills of the martial arts that he knew. Right? But he was an absolute master. Now, Bruce Lee was a real hero, but if we think about other people who are masters in the arena of battle or fight, who knows the movie The Princess Bride? Okay, relatively popular. Okay, 1980s movie, was awesome. And there was this scene in the movie where there are two men. The man in the black mask, he climbs the cliffs of insanity. He gets to the top of the cliffs of insanity, and there he is met with, I believe it's Antonio or something. I can't remember the man's name. And there you go. Whatever his name was, because I can't even repeat it. He's met with the other man, and they then begin this battle, this fencing battle, where two swords are drawn, and they start to battle back and forth, and there's this incredible sword fight going on. In the middle of the sword fight, the man in the black mask says, "I've been holding something from you. I am not left-handed." And he throws the sword to his other hand, and the battle continues on, and there's this incredible sword fight. Or maybe for some of you, you know the name, which we haven't had one of these movies in a while, but if you know the name of Zorro, okay, you know the concept of Zorro, who he is, another masked man with a sword that was able to go into battle in an incredible fencer. Awesome. Pictures of mastery, pictures of skill, men who were excellent fencers. Well, and tonight, as we continue reading in Mark chapter 11, as I read through this, I picture Jesus, and Jesus was a master himself. He was a master craftsman, not only in profession because he was a carpenter, but he is a master craftsman with his words, especially when he goes to battle. And as we're going to be looking through the passage tonight, Jesus is met with other men who are ready to fence off against him. They're ready to do battle with Jesus. And you see Jesus, as he is so awesome and so powerful with his words, absolutely master this fight and turn it completely back on them. Let's go ahead and read. We're going to read starting in Mark chapter 11. We're going to start at verse 27. Now remember, this is after Jesus flipped over the tables. He made a lot of men angry as he entered into Jerusalem. They arrived again in Jerusalem. And while Jesus was walking in the temple courts, the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you the authority to do this?" This is great. I want you guys to remember these words. This is what Jesus does. He replies, he reflects, he reshapes, and ultimately rejects who these people are. He replies, he reflects, he reshapes and rejects who these people are. He starts off with this right here. Jesus replied, "I will ask you one question. Answer me. And I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, was it from heaven or of human origin? Tell me." They discussed it amongst themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why don't you believe him? But if we say of human origin," they feared the people, for everyone held that John's authority, that John really was a prophet. So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Jesus said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things." Continue on into Mark chapter 12. Jesus then began to speak to them in parables, again, crafting his words masterfully. "A man planted a vineyard, and he put a wall around it, dug a pit, and for the winepress, built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. At harvest time, he sent a servant to the tenants to collect from some of the fruit of the vineyard, but they seized him, beat him, and sent him away empty-handed. Then he sent another servant to them. They struck this man on the head and treated him shamefully. He still sent another, and that one they killed. He sent many others. Some of them they beat, others they killed. He had one left to send, a son who he loved. He sent him last, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But the tenants said to one another, 'This is the heir. Come, let's kill him, and the inheritance will be ours.' So they took him and killed him and threw him out of the vineyard. What then will the owner of the vineyard do? Will he come and kill those tenants and give the vineyard to others? Haven't you read this passage of Scripture? 'The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in his eyes.' Then the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders looked for a way to arrest him, because they knew that he had spoken the parable against them, but they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away." What a masterful battle Jesus just won there with people that thought they were so intellectual, they were so smart. "We're going to trap Jesus," and this happens to him over and over again. This is what Jesus did at the very beginning. When they came to him with a question and they tried to trap Jesus, Jesus first, he replied to them. And that's when he said, "Let me ask you a question. Let me take your question that you're throwing at me. I'm going to turn it right back around at you." Then Jesus, after that, he reflected their question at them. And he said, "Okay, I want you to reflect on this question. I'm going to reply to you and say, let me ask you a question. Now let me reflect it right back at you. You're asking me about my authority. I'm going to take the concept of authority and I'm going to apply it to John the Baptist over here. And I want to know what you say about John the Baptist." Then, as he reflected their question to them, their reply, because they were thinking they knew what he was doing, they had no answer. They were completely defenseless. And they said, "Oh, we don't know, Jesus. We can't answer your question." Incredible skill that he had. Coming to Jesus and saying, "God," or saying, "Jesus, I want to engage you in a spiritual discussion. I want to spiritually challenge you, Jesus," is like going to a master swordsman with a loaf of bread. You're going to take it out and you're going to look absolutely foolish, and he's going to cut it in two and say, "I'm going to get right to the heart of it. You look like a fool right now," right? He then goes on and he reshapes. After he reflects that question, he reshapes it for them and says, "Let me tell you a parable. And as I reshape this, you're going to see yourself in this parable." And he then goes on and tells this parable of the vineyard. And he says, there was a master, and the master planted a vineyard, and he had people take care of the vineyard. And he's referring to the chief priests in this vineyard right here, or to these people right here, right? And he's saying, and then I'm going to send people to tell you truth, to collect the fruits, but you're going to beat them, and everybody that I send, you're going to reject. This is kind of a reference to the prophets of the Old Testament, that every time the prophets came to Jerusalem, to the people, and they were to speak the truth of God, they were rejected time and time again, until finally he said, well, I'm going to send my son down, which is a reference to Jesus. He's going to go to the vineyard. He's going to speak the truth, and these people are still going to kill him, and they're going to reject him. And Jesus, looking at them straight in the eye, I would imagine, he says, what do you think the owner of the vineyard would do to such people that would murder, kill, and reject the message of the master? Kind of a daunting, scary place to be, thinking about Jesus saying that. He's basically calling down judgment on them right there, but he's doing it in a story form. You guys familiar with the company Pixar? Yeah. Do you know that Jesus exercises one of the most important storytelling rules that even Pixar would affirm today? Do you know what that is? It's the rule, I'm going to teach you something. It's the rule 2 + 2 = 4. The audience has to work for their meal. Not everything is given to these people plainly. Because when you tell a story, you bring up a metaphor, and you say, I'm going to tell you a story, you're challenging somebody to think about the story and to pull out the spiritual truth that's in that story. And in doing so, that person is personally reflecting on what is happening in the story. And Pixar actually uses it in all of their movies today. They use that. They don't give you everything outright. They make you put two and two together. Josh is going to bring me a new microphone right here. So that's what Jesus is doing. He's telling them a story, and he's saying, I want you to listen to this story, and then at the very end, with the dead look in his eye, I would imagine, staring at them and saying, what would the master of the vineyard do to such tenants that would do that to people? Wouldn't he kill them? Yeah, in that moment, they were rather angry, frustrated, mad, right? And they were looking for ways for Jesus to be arrested. But they feared the crowd, and they walked away completely rejected. The wisdom that Jesus portrays in this passage of Scripture, I think there's something that we can really learn from this, not just saying, wow, Jesus, you're really smart. That's a really great way to reject those people. Look how wonderful Jesus did that. He was such a master at how he showed them the truth in a very creative type way. But there's something for us in this today that we need to look at. Because remember, the Word of God is good for teaching of doctrine and correction, but to the purpose of righteous living, the character of who Christ is the character of the Holy Spirit, right? It is who Christ, the Holy Spirit, the same thing, and the Spirit lives in you. It is the Spirit of Christ to have the same mind as Christ, the Scriptures would say. Jesus tells us that we need to be as shrewd as serpents, but as gentle as doves. And this is a wonderful example of Jesus doing just that, practicing absolute shrewdness, intelligence, turning it back on people, and not calling them out straight right? He's having them actually understand, yeah, we're in trouble. So what can we do? How can we apply that to ourselves? What in our world today, how can we practice the spiritual wisdom that Jesus is shown here? Well, we live in a world today that is constantly challenging the belief of Scriptures, the concept of who Jesus is, spiritual truth. We live in an incredibly spiritually confusing time, right? People don't know what is up or down. They don't know what is truth. Everybody is living their truth. There is no solid truth. There's no benchmark. There's nothing to launch off of. And so everybody is creating these truths, these internal belief systems that's basically making it anything that you believe is now true, and it's your truth. And we live in a world where we are facing that reality. And people will come up and they will challenge, and they challenge a lot of time on media, on memes, on social media, right? Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is, that social media that you subscribe to. And as believers, we need to practice the same discipline that Jesus practiced when replying to people that bring challenges to the authority that we claim. Do you know that you have the authority of God's word? That's why we say the Bible is our authority. It's what we subscribe to. And people say, well, where do you get that authority from? Where do you get that authority? How do you have this authority to believe that thing or say this thing, right? And we say, well, the word of God says, the Bible says, right? Which is great, which is wonderful to say that. But have you ever thought about actually practicing some of that shrewdness with people? Hypothetical conversation I was thinking up in my head of maybe what could happen on Facebook or on an Instagram is when somebody posts something that says, I can't believe all you Christians, you're right-wing, self-righteous puppets. And then inside of us, when we see such comments or such things that come out, we can get really angry, right? Some of us love to have those Facebook conversations, or we love to read other people's Facebook conversations or whatever the conversations are at. And we love to reply to people, well, I'll show you, is what we think about in our head, and then divulge in like three paragraphs, like citing all of these scriptures and all of these things and throwing it, blah, right? And we engage in an intellectual battle with people that doesn't look like a mastery sword fight, but it looks like we're taking a sledgehammer, right, to people and trying to knock them around and saying, ha, I won, showed you. That's not the point. The point is the person on the other side of the conversation, just like Jesus was making the people he was talking to the point. He wanted them to understand the truth, right? So he did it masterfully. Think about it like this, the way that Jesus did it is pretty simple. He replied gently. He reflected. He reshaped. And ultimately, by the reshaping, the lie was rejected. Think about it like this. Somebody says, I can't believe all you Christians, you right-wing, self-righteous puppets. Maybe your reply could be, wow, you really sound angry. Think about when you have conversations with people that challenge the authority of Scripture or challenge the authority of God or what you believe. Have you ever thought about like listening with spiritual ears and seeing them with spiritual eyes? And saying, I see the words that are coming out of your mouth. Like, I see them, I hear them. But I see past the words. And I see the anger. And I see the frustration. And I see the hurt. And I maybe see the depression that's taking place there. And actually seeing those words come out and saying, wow, that person looks like maybe they were really hurt by the church. That person looks like they really don't understand, right? Wow, you really sound angry. And maybe reflect their question right back at them. Do you really think that all Christians are right-wing, self-righteous puppets? Right? Well, maybe not all Christians. What? And then you maybe help them reshape it. What do you think a Christian actually is? I don't know. What is a Christian? Do you mind if I talk with you about truly what a Christian is? Because if I talked with you, I walked with you, and I showed you the truth of the humility and the grace and the love of Jesus, you might actually gain a better understanding than what you see all over the place. And maybe you can invite them into that conversation and reject the lie that they threw out there, the lie that they believed. Handling conversations masterfully, incredibly, like well, is a part
of our spiritual walk to be more like Jesus. Yes, we should love people. Yes, we should be gentle. But never forget that the wisdom is also an attribute of God communicated through his Spirit into you when you spiritually grow in him. Exercising wisdom is so important. Close with this in a second. Colossians 4:6 says this. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. We live in a time that's not the spiritual realities that Jesus dealt with are the same spiritual realities we deal with now. That's the wonderful thing about spiritual truth. And that's why when you pick up your Bible and you say, wow, I picked up my Bible and I'm reading something that applies to me today. That's incredible. It applies to me today. It applied to them in the 1500s and the year 900, and it applied all the way back to Jesus' time, right? It is the spiritual truth that man always is dealing with, always is coming up against, that we have to think about. And the truth is, the chief priests, when they approached Jesus and they challenged his authority, the pride that was in them, the darkness that was inside their mind and their heart, that they were trying to challenge Jesus, that same spiritual darkness and truth exists in the world today. Even though it was with the religious self-righteous in that moment, and today it may be with some of them, but it may be going out to the rest of the world, the truth is the same. The challenging of the authority of the truth of who Jesus is the same. We live in a time where we have to start to really learn to become very articulate with our words. We have to become intelligent in the way that we reply to people. We have to be very gracious in the way that we talk, letting all of our speech be seasoned with salt for one purpose, not to win an argument, right? It's because the people on the other side of the argument are in deep, deep need, and they don't understand. You can be that person that just through a few words, wise, intelligent words that are gracious and seasoned with salt, that are compassionate and that are patient and that are loving and are kind and are gentle, right? You, through the way that you talk, through the way that you speak, and your diligent study of the Word of God, can become a master in helping reshape people's thinking so that they may come to the truth of who Jesus is. Amen? Let's go ahead and pray. Father God, I thank you so much. I thank you so much for this room. I thank you so much for everybody in here that has come to worship, to learn your word, to dive in and look at what a master you were with your words. Father, that people come up to you with silly arguments and vain philosophies and just stupid speech, Lord. Yet you handled them graciously, firmly, intelligently, Lord, with simple words. May we be a people that are as wise as serpents, but as gentle as doves in everything that we do. And may we do that as we grow to be more and more like you every single day. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't want to be a prisoner no more.
No more.
Unlock.
the door that holds me in. This is the day that